All right. So Tiffany and I want to talk to you a little bit about the quarterly business review, which is just our process for bringing that disciplined, professionally managed approach to the firm. So we're going to talk through that. I want you guys, as always, to ask questions as we go in terms of as each of these steps apply. But I'm going to give you the high level in terms of what we really want to accomplish. Then we're going to do kind of the deeper dive, and then we can really dive into questions about how you have been or would like to apply this. So Tiffany can tell you, when I first started working with her, she was in a different firm and they were smaller. It was her, two other advisors, and they didn't really have these processes, and she put them in place. And I think, at a scale, at a size and scale that made sense for them. And now that she's a partner in a much larger firm, she's really been able to deepen this process and kind of use the whole or the full of it, I guess I would say, Tiff. Any observations around just managing progress and performance in general in terms of the shift that you've seen? Just we'll go through the process, but just in applying a more disciplined, kind of professionally managed process.
Yeah, I mean, I think, when it starts, you're really thinking how it started with me adopting this as a process for myself, right? Like getting clear on my own vision, what does that look like? And utilizing that and the action steps, and then taking it to a small group of like, how are we bringing this in together? And then now at a team level. But what's really great is that we're able then to like create, like make sure personal goals and firm goals are aligned and all the spokes on the wheel are really working together. And some of it is still really simplified. Like sometimes it's a little bit more fancy, like we have the systems that really support it. And sometimes it's just like on a Word doc. I mean, this morning we went through it in all company on progression of our quarterly goals as a team and in each specialty area. And it's red, yellow, or green. Has it been started? Is it in progress or is it green? Just like a quick snapshot on how are all the things working together. So the systems really come together, but what it does is it just gets, all the spokes on the wheel working together so that we can get the momentum that we're looking for and ensure that we're staying on track.
And the reason that this slide is here is I really just want to remind you, we talked about this in managing performance. And I remember, right, we all forget 80% of what we hear. So at the end of Q1, I really want to revisit one, the overarching process, which we call the launch process. And then today, really the quarterly business review, which is that quarterly tool and process that we use. I call it the keep from backsliding tool, right? It's how we make sure that we're just digging in and moving forward. You can't manage what you don't measure. And so this is really when we think about the complexity. At some point, you've all heard me talk about the invisible force field, right? Those forces that sit between us and the goal. And we're like, I'm pulling all the levers. Why isn't it working the way that I want? And it's a lot of times because we're deluded, we're distracted, we're dysfunctional. And you know now there's a lot of levers that you can pull to be in a much more empowered position. The launch process is the business process that says we have a disciplined approach for working on the business, separate and apart from working in the business. And that is the most difficult thing to do when you own a practice or you're leading a practice, is that balance between continued progress and development improvements and running the shop. And you get to a certain point where you get a professional manager like a Kim, and it's a huge leverage point. Just like when you got that first assistant, it's a huge leverage point. The process works at any size, to Tiffany's point, right? Like I used it in a one-person firm, and I've used it in, a 1,000-person firm. You expand or contract it to make it fit the size of the circumstances. So it's about having the clarity, the what and the why, making sure everyone's. And I think Tiffany's firm is particularly good at that. Everyone's always clear culturally and operationally on what we're doing and why we're doing it. On transparency, it's the plans, right? Like, what are we doing and how are we getting to it? And then accountability. One of the biggest issues I hear from leaders is, right, I don't want to be pushing the gas on the car. I want the team pushing the gas in the car, right? We need to make that momentum shift. And this process overall creates massive accountability. There is no place to hide for you. It will identify leadership accountability gaps. Tiffany can tell you that was the first conversation we had when I sat down with her and Jared to implement the launch process, was we have an accountability gap at a leadership level because we haven't started at the top and created the clarity. And we haven't created the transparency and the plans, and we haven't created a mechanism to hold them accountable. So as frustrated as we are, it starts at the top. Now, Tiffany and Jared are exceptional leaders and they're very growth oriented. And they took that, I think it took them all 7 seconds. And by our next call, right, they had implemented kind of this structure to, and they had that conversation with the team, which we've talked about, like, hey, we realize we didn't do a great job of doing this. We want to put it in place. This is the process that we're going to use to make sure that we as an organization stay clear, focused, aligned, and on track. And that's essentially what the launch process does. It's proactive. It is process driven, not people not feel like it, not shiny thing, not we have a problem, let's schedule a meeting. Process driven. It's priority focused. So it's about aligning time, energy, and capital to the priorities that are going to move the needle. And whether you have a professional manager or not, it is a professionally managed process, right? It's thoughtful, intentional, and disciplined, and it's done on a consistent, reliable basis. When you do that, you're constantly surfacing the issues that need to be solved for to move you in the direction of the goals. That's what the process is intended to do. It's also intended to do something really important, and Adam and I were talking about this earlier, and I thought it was a really good point, which is, he had referenced it another way, but what it really does is it puts you in a place of empowerment. As leaders, Tiffany, what's the greatest frustration? When we have that, like, I should be able to fix this and it's not, right? It's, I'm frustrated because I'm not getting the outcome that I want. Like, I'm working harder, I'm working longer, et cetera. What's going on here? And so this is really a tool to make sure that you and the team and the organization are really empowered so that you're always in charge of and have control over what you're doing, and you know why you're getting the results that you get. So it's the most honest feedback tool that says, Isaac, Joe, Liz, Melissa, Neil, hey, you guys made some decisions over here. And here's what the quarterly review says the outcome is relative to those decisions. How's that working for you? And if things are accounted for and working, Liz is going to be like, we're kicking butt and taking names, and that momentum is going to be there, and she's going to get more and more and more confident, surfacing issues, solving for them, taking steps. Like Tiffany and Jared don't hesitate. Like in the beginning, way back, you know, 4 years ago, it was like, I don't know, we're going to put a process in place to solve for this stuff. Now they have a very disciplined process in place. So that's what the overarching process is intended to do via the strategic planning meeting, via the infographic that you see there. Then the quarterly business review is how we make sure that the business plan, the one-page plan that comes out of that, is on track, that we're aligning priorities each quarter with our time, our energy, and our capital, that we're not doing too much, which we'll talk about. And then we've got action plans around them. That translates into monthly meetings. Some of you will have those with your leadership or management team. Some of that you will have those with your whole team, depending again on your size and situation and preference. And then your weekly meetings are typically your run the shop, right? Client service, operations, things that are happening, you know, sort of regular. The annual, quarterly, and monthly meetings are on the business meetings. Those weekly team meetings are work in the business meetings. And then you can make decisions about whether you check in on projects each week or each month with your team. That we can talk about those. That's just a preference. Tiff, do you guys do the check-in on the projects weekly, monthly, or quarterly, or all of the above?
All of the above. Yes, we weekly, monthly, quarterly, and then annually. Yes.
Yeah, this is the process that I actually built out for the United Capital executive team. It's just called something different because we didn't have this process. And at the leadership team level, we met weekly, for those of you that have those teams. And very much, we didn't have CRMs and it wasn't all fancy. We had a spreadsheet and it had the projects that each executive team member was assigned. Green, you guys know I'm a fan of green, yellow, red. We had to mark it green, yellow, red. And then we had to identify why, like what was it that we needed to share? And we each had 3 minutes to go around. We like literally did a round table and you had 3 minutes to give your update. And then everyone would go around and give feedback. And it was our way of making sure that the leadership team was kind of in it together. And there was no like you did or you didn't. Everybody was tasked with bringing their updates, surfacing their issues, and then built a round table into that to make sure. So that's more of kind of, if you have a leadership or executive team meeting, we can talk about that specifically. That's not what the quarterly business review does per se, but that's how we integrated the annual plan and the quarterly meetings into our weekly kind of leadership or management meetings, separate and apart from just our standard kind of, hey team, what's going on meeting. Some of you have both of those meetings, some of you do not. Right. Any questions there? Everybody, we're familiar with the launch process and kind of the steps that we're taking. How many of you have done a annual planning meeting or strategic planning meeting with the team so far this year or in preparation for this year? I think about half of you. I know a couple of you have them scheduled in the next coming weeks. Yeah. Isaac's like, I did it. Look at my, I swear I did. The goal of that meeting, Tiff, Jared, do you guys want to talk a little bit about why? Because not everybody has done them and that's okay. But I would love for you guys to just talk about through the lens of why you, how you've seen it be really impactful to the team and why you think it's a good investment. You know, again, it doesn't have to be a 2-day melodrama. It might be a really long or a half day meeting, but you guys want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think we've tended to go more with the like half day meeting for some of the bigger content portions that are a little more intense. But it's really been great just to sort of clear the air with the team and make sure everybody feels heard, feels seen, feels like they've had an opportunity to contribute. Tiff, what else?
Yeah, as Jared said, it's really about the buy-in so that, you know, right now, I mean, especially with talent, like they want to be tied to the mission and impact is not just money driven. So just making sure that there's buy-in to the why, that they understand how their seat serves the bigger why and how that's showing up in the major projects that we're focusing on, as well as get them excited about what the growth means to the firm, what hitting these outcomes can mean and all of those types of things. But the whole purpose of it is always just clarifying the why, making sure there's buy-in, and then making it, as Jared said, heard and seen when we have made those decisions without having that level of transparency, it has negatively impacted our culture as well as the outcomes of the projects and goals we had. So we have learned quickly that these meetings and that time is very, very important to the momentum that we are seeking to have as a firm.
Yeah, it's
and
really-
I think one of the
Go ahead, Jared.
One of the funniest things that we've heard when we would roll things out piecemeal, the first question was, am I the last one to know on the team? Everybody wanted to know, are we hearing this at the same time? Are we being respected and treated equally? And so having those pause points to bring everybody in the same room, it's like, absolutely none of you knew about this ahead of time. And here we go. So that was really positive from
all
a cultural perspective.
All of you were equally uninformed until this point.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I pulled up the business vision. You all probably have some version of this. This is just a simple template. But the goal of this, when you think about the planning meeting, is to be able to fill this in whatever form that you do that, which is what's the mission, vision, and values. Teams really want and need that information. It's what gives meaning to moving paper from one side of the desk to the other. Right, describing and getting clear on what it will take creates the roadmap for change. And that ultimately should have led to your business plan or what we call the one-page business plan. I like the high-level view. I've built so many 50-page business plans that have never gotten implemented that I stopped building them. Sort of like this big financial plan sometimes. So the idea here, just as a quick refresh, is to get clear on the goal 3 years out, then 1 year, then to really identify the key objectives, and then assess the priorities and set and manage to them each quarter, which is where the quarterly business review then kicks in, right? So if you think about a planning funnel, we're starting with the big picture. Why are you here? What are your goals, right? That leads into the big why, ultimately the business vision leads into the one-page plan, then leads into the quarterly review. And so that's what those planning meetings do. I think Tiffany and Jared made a really valuable point, which is it's about getting the team's buy-in, and involvement equals investment. So we've talked a bit about that. That will take us to here. And then the reason the planning meeting, even if it's a quick 2-hour lunch meeting to really go through everything and say, hey, here's where we are in terms of the plan and the priorities, is the quarterly business review is what's going to create accountability as we move forward. And so you want people to really have ownership of what they're assigned. And when they participate in those conversations, they tend to take more ownership. So in some cases, you'll decide this with your leadership team, and then you or they will take that to the firm and say, hey, we've met, here are the priorities for the quarter. And then your managers or groups will work with their teams, right, Kim, to go into planning or investments, and then look at the priorities for each department that support that. If you want to do that across a group, you'll probably just start with priorities as a firm for most of you. But what Tiffany and Jared will tell you is as you get better and better at the process, and more mature, you'll have different groups and teams working on different priorities, and you'll be able to manage those and make more progress. You just have to get to that point. Otherwise, it becomes just chaos and you don't want to do that. So the idea here is not to lay out the map for the whole year. Have any of you ever implemented a business plan exactly as you wrote it? Anyone ever? Never, right? It's kind of like a client's financial plan. So what we do want to do is get clear on what we think those levers are in terms of the things we do, which is what the quarterly business review will take us through. And then each quarter set those priorities based on progress made last quarter. If we didn't finish all of those, we're not just going to arbitrarily add, right? And some things that we ultimately need to account for, which are these things. And you're most of you are looking at these on a pretty regular basis in some form or fashion. Now we want to talk about how to integrate and organize them into a disciplined process to surface that business management in versus on that we've talked about. So four questions you're going to ask in four areas: financial performance, practice performance, marketing performance, and personal / professional performance, right? How are you showing up as a person and leader separate apart from the practice, finances, and marketing? And just like clients, when they do reviews in each of these areas, you might have others that you're adding based on your situation. You're basically asking yourselves four questions. And Jared and Tiffany can tell you, like, they have lots of different conversations, but it essentially boils down to, what did we say we were going to do? Are we on track? Why or why not? As a result of that, what needs attention? More of this, less of this, fix or solve, account for this. And then what actions will we take? So you could stop right here, right? Identify what data and what categories you wanted to look at a regular basis, scratch it out on an agenda, and you would be just fine. And what you're going to see on the pages that follow is sort of the structured workbook and model that we put together just to help you as a forcing mechanism go through all of those steps. And then from there, you can rip off, deploy, and refine, customize as it fits your firm situation and preferences. But we're going to just kind of talk through the details from here. So I want to pause here because I want to make sure that we're grounded on one: what is the quarterly business review? Does everybody feel clear on that at this point? Right? It's that quarterly check-in. It's that dashboard that says, how's it working? And then that next step is to really say, okay, what are we going to do with it? So here, what do I want you to do with the quarterly business review? It's not about the worksheets. It is about the data and what it surfaces, the process, if you will. But most important, it's a habit of empowering you to take agency over the business, to understand that it's not something you have to be frustrated about or constantly chasing after or frustrated to always be fixing, but that we can put a disciplined process in place that surfaces the issues, that tells us what we need to solve for so we can make strategic decisions that we can then turn into action steps that produce results that make that situation better. And then we can lather, rinse, and repeat that. And that is a more intentional growth and development process than waking up each day, coming in, and attacking everything that comes at us. So this gives the team a structure or the team a track to run on. And the value of that is that for those of you who have gone through or are going through a lot of change, that can be very overwhelming to teams. And what this does is it gives you a track for change that puts you in a place of empowerment. Hey guys, we have a lot going on, so we really need a good process to help us manage this effectively. This is the process we're using. That way, we get away from arguing with reality and getting overwhelmed, and we get to a place where we can make incremental progress in the direction that we want to make it. So that's kind of what it is and what we want you to do with it. I am not going to read all the copy on this slide, but these are the core tenets that should be in some form or fashion in your review, right? You're going to review your three-year vision, your one-page plan, and the landscape, right? Tiffany and Jared, they talk with their team every time about the vision, the values, the why. Like, that is the anchor because that's the backstop every decision is measured against. Does it put us in a position to deliver on this vision? You're going to review the one-page plan so you know what you've got prioritized and what your resources are being allocated against. And you're going to look at the market landscape. Has anything significant changed? Hey, we just got our fee summary back. We're going to look at our fees. You know, let's look at the landscape. So those are the things you want to be looking at regularly. You're going to review your 90-day action plan for the prior quarter, right? So you're going to ask some questions about, were you on track, right? All those questions we talked about. You'll set the next action plan at the end of the process, but you'll start it here. And then you're going to look at those four areas, right? What did we say we were going to do? Are we on track? You're going to look at the specific data or reports. You've all looked at your client profitability and practice benchmarks at this point. There's also the client fee analysis tool that I'll be sending you in the follow-ups to our leaders calls, where you can start to change the fee inputs and assumptions. I'm charging a retainer. This client gets a $1,000 charge because of the gap. This one's going to go up to it. And you can literally do it client by client and then see the changes in the aggregate. So I'll share that, the summary of all of that, when I send those out to you guys later this week. But the idea there is to make sure that you're evaluating the financial performance, the practice performance, how are we doing, the marketing and growth performance. So I know some of you are looking at that data. A couple of you are really focused on it. And I really, over the course of this year, want to make sure as we institute this process that we're getting you, relative to each of your marketing strategies, we're getting your kind of growth engine data really dialed in through this process as well. Are we looking at our web analytics and our conversion rates and our sales funnels, our lead sources, et cetera, so we can see where we need to tighten the story, refine the sales process, train the team, et cetera, narrow the clients, whatever it may be. And so we want to look at marketing performance. And then, as we talked about, personal and professional goals. So there's a section in the agenda and the workbook for personal and professional goals. You can do this individually, right? Tiffany and Jared, I know, always do that together. You can include the leadership team in that, or the management team if you want to do that. And or you can include everyone in that section. It just depends what the nature of your team is, what construct you want to create, and what level you want to go into. Those, like for Kim and team, those are very much the things that end up in your personal development plans in terms of, right, how are you growing and improving, because they're projects and things that ultimately relate to the firm in many cases. So those are the tenets in the business review. And then you all are looking at some set of data on a regular basis, but you're going to look at your P&Ls, budget versus actuals, your AUM reports, your new business pipeline, any marketing and web analytics reports that you have, your practice benchmark and client profitability. Once your client profitability analysis gets right-sized, I've used that phrase with a lot of you, right? Then you don't have to review it every week. Like really, you could just look at it a quarterly or an annual basis. The benchmark you're going to use on a regular basis, because that's what's going to give us those key KPIs or key performance indicators, which tell us where we want to focus. So it's kind of hard to see on this example because it's really small. Sorry about that. But the idea is once we get that, you've all done them, and we'll identify, we'll do the summaries and we'll continue in our check-ins as we go each quarter. What are those metrics that are most important to start to move the needle on? You're not going to move them all at once. Is it revenue on the revenue side in terms of growth? Is it profitability? Is it productivity in terms of, right, squeezing in the middle? And that, so we ultimately want to get to like two or three key metrics that you're working on at any given time. But at a management leadership level, you're going to do a quick review of that dashboard and just see quarter over quarter, you should be moving in the right direction. If we raised our fees and our minimums, our revenue per client, Kim, next quarter shouldn't go down, even if it's by $7. It should go up by some number. And so this surfaces a lot of issues of, hey, we've made decisions around here, and then we find out on the back end we're not following through or executing, or we're making lots of exceptions, and it shows up and surfaces in these reports. So the idea is to kind of look at the data. It's, think of it as the dashboard on your car. What is the data that you need as the leader or part of the leadership team in your firm to make good, informed, and educated decisions around how to run the business? And then those reports on an ongoing basis are the feedback loop that tell us if it's working or not. And then again, we figure out what we need to account for. And that leads to lots of the conversations that we had over the last week in terms of, right, what that data tells us. And then any other data that's relevant to you or your practice, you'll add. And if you've got teams like Tiffany and Jared, we'll ultimately want to get you reporting by teams. So what's the client profitability analysis at a firm level? What's it look like at a team level? What's the revenue model in terms of direct and indirect at the firm level? What is it at the team level? Because it won't be the same for a new team that we're growing into as it will for an established mature team that's already there. So those things layer into how we look at the growth strategy and the staffing strategy. And so that, again, is just another way that that data will surface and we'll use it. So that's how we'll prep for the QBR. Is you'll gather the data, or your team will gather the data based on how you outline the agenda. We went ahead and built a QBR workbook. Again, you can do this on a one-page Word document or a cocktail napkin if you need to. So the behavioral concept is a forcing mechanism to reinforce what you want to do and why. That's why you're constantly reviewing the vision and the goals, because it's reminding your brain, it's laying the neural pathway. This is the new normal, is essentially what vision and goals do at a behavioral level. And the second that your brain believes, AKA that pathway is thicker and stronger than the old one, that that's the new normal, all of that subconscious horsepower that we're always talking about will stop working against you and start working for you, because that is the reality that your brain will want to create. It does not know the difference between what's real and imaginary. So one, it's an anchor to retrain your brain that this is the vision and the goal and the why. Two, very much to Tiffany and Jared's point, it's that same cultural anchor for your team. And the job is to make sure that all the decisions you make reinforce that. So the idea behind the workbook is to, right, go through that process in a structured and disciplined way. So it becomes the cultural habit to just be good at managing the business with discipline. Like, this is just the way we do things. So we built it in a PDF fillable format. If you want to go through the very specific exercise on your own or with the team of filling it out, that's the best forcing mechanism. It will take longer the first time, obviously, but the goal is to kind of go through and start to fill it out through the lens of what feels good to you and what's going to make your agenda. So the first page basically just goes through your goals for the year. Liz, you don't have to read all the details. I promise we'll send it to you. I see you're leaning ahead of my glasses to read it. The first page is basically level setting the goals for the year, asking you for your top three priorities in three areas. Practice, what are the practice, the big three for the practice? Personally and professionally, and then, or yes, personally and professionally. So it might be like when Clinton was getting the CFP, like that was a professional goal, where it might be quoting my fees with confidence. It might be being a more effective leader. And those aren't things that show up in practice goals. And we don't want you to forget about those for you and or for your team. So Kim, that's a good example of how it might layer into part of their personal development plan, right? Be a better manager, might be on one of somebody's list if you have the managers do it, but it might also be part. So that's what I noticed with teams, is that what shows up on here when you have your teams do the personal and professional goals ultimately very much mirrors or becomes, from the strategic planning part, it becomes their personal development plan for the year. And then you can build an action plan at a team level for their growth and development, which I've talked to a lot of you about, around the advice model and the sales process and succession. So that's that section. So we have you identify the top three. That's a focusing exercise. Then we have you identify the top one in each category, a really uncomfortable focusing exercise, because we're horrible at that by habit. And our job as leaders is to get really clear on, yes, we can do it all at any given time, but as Mark pointed out, do we want the $5 carrot or the $1 carrot? Like, we want that sense of clarity and awareness. So we want to distill it down to, if we were going to move the needle in one big way this year, what would it be? And then we'll go through and then create milestones around each of those priorities. Milestones are great exercises to do with the team. Hey, our goal is to double our average revenue per client. Our goal is to focus on a niche. What does that mean in terms of milestones? So that next section just has boxes to kind of help brainstorming around that. Hey, we're gonna look at the client list. We're gonna interview, identify our top 10 favorite clients. We're gonna do client interviews. We're gonna do some market research around niches and fees, right? So when you get those milestones kind of mapped out, which you can generally do pretty quickly, it makes it a lot easier when you get to your action plan, which you'll see in a minute. And then on the right side, it are just a series of questions. And those are just forcing mechanisms for the kinds of conversations we would have if we were having coaching. So it's, you know, what might be the obstacles that you face? Hey, you know, if Jared and Tiffany are having a conversation or a conversation with their leadership team that says, hey, we want to do X, what are the obstacles that we might face? We're now surfacing the risk factors. We're surfacing, oh, I don't have time. And we can now ask ourselves, how are we going to account for that ahead of time? So it's just a series of questions that you can surface either on your own with the team to bring those conversations to the top. And then the next page is literally just a 90-day action plan. The difference between this and just your average 90-day action plan, and I've noticed this is very helpful for project management, which is why we built it in, is it's really hard to see here, I'm sorry. It's built into 30, 60, and 90-day increments. So in this practice section, based on the priorities that we set over here, what are the, and those milestones, right? Kim, we're not going to do them all in 30 days. Sometimes we might, but we want to look at all the priorities we're working on and then map them out so we can start to see, well, we can't do everything for every project in the first 30 days. That doesn't really make any sense. So it allows you to really map out those projects with a little bit more reality over 30, 60, and 90 days. If you have multiple teams or projects, right, you just copy the page and use it again. But that's the idea there. And the next section is a quarterly snapshot. So this is really the forcing mechanism for covering those points on the key concept slide, which is, you have to look really close, but it's essentially a checklist. Did you review the three-year vision? Did you review the business plan? I'm not expecting you to sit there with your team and say, hey, we're checking the boxes. It's essentially a baked-in agenda and the important questions. Hey, did we meet our goals for the year? Why or why not? And then what's the reason, the learning, or the impact? So notice we're not just taking inventory, we're creating conversation of the issues and the insights we need to have to choose those priorities for the business for the quarter so that we can solve for what we need to solve for. So it's just a model to help you do that. Because in the past, when we've given out, you know, the idea or the agenda, some of you will take a couple bullet points and run with it. And some of you really like the details. All of you will tweak it and change it, and that's 100% okay. It's a starting point, and then you can skinny it down or beef it up based on what fits you. So my recommendation is to go through the workbook once, see what fits and feels good, and then adjust your agenda accordingly. So we go through that in each of the areas, vision and goals, right? Have we looked at that? Are we on track, right? Financial review, practice review, goals review. Performance review, are we on track with our top KPIs? Is there something we need to account for? And then same thing on the marketing review side, right? Did we complete our goals for the quarter? What do we need to account for? What do we need to go? And then, so it just finishes that up. Same thing on the professional. So it's basically just replicating that model. And then at the end, you'll do the priorities review. So for the next quarter, you'll start by reviewing the last quarter. Hey, did we, because if you didn't finish half of it, you're probably not going to be able to add. So the idea is to really go through, not just check on the status of it, but to get the learning. This is where, boring as it is, and I'm just being honest, I know this is not the sexiest conversation we have, but it's important. This is where accountability kicks in. When Tiffany and Jared show up week after week, month after month, and certainly with the whole team quarter after quarter, and they're like, where are we? Where are we? Where are we? What happens? Some people really rise up, and some people, it's really clear that they're struggling and we know where to direct intention and resources. And some people simply move out because that level of ownership and accountability isn't comfortable for them based on their skills, their experience, or their attitude. And Tiffany and Jared can tell you they've experienced all three of those things. So I just want to stop there because I'm going to be really honest and acknowledge this is not the most exciting part, but the structure is what I want you, thank you for that smile, Kim. The structure is what I want you to take away is this is just a deeper version of those four dashboards with the behavioral and the performance, the leadership questions baked in. We shouldn't just be looking at the P&L with the team. We should be saying, hey, team, we're over under on our expenses. Here's why. What do we need to account for? That doesn't mean every single thing. And that's where you'll make decisions about what gets shared with partners, what gets shared with the leadership or management team, and then what gets shared more broadly with the team. Because, right, Kim, you don't have to do, right, you don't have to have 15 people in an all-day meeting every single quarter. To Jared and Tiffany's point, it's about how you get that concentrated time to do the check-in, surface the issues, get the strategy, and make sure everyone's accountable. When you do that over and over, it surfaces all of the issues that it needs to surface. So I'll stop there. Tiff, Jared, anything? Because I know you guys have really used this process over the last, what, year, year and a half to create, to tighten the culture, which they're naturally really good at, but really to deal with just performance issues at a leadership and a team level and to really create ownership and accountability because they were spending a lot of time, like many of you are, just managing, I call it whack-a-mole. Do you guys remember the whack-a-mole from the pizza parlor? The little purple heads pop up and you hit them as fast as you can. That's what running a firm can feel like. And the launch process is really the big lever, and the quarterly business review is a big part of that to moving into that state of empowered management versus reactive management. So Jared, Tiff, you want to just talk a little bit about what it was like before and after and how the process helped and just changes. I know you guys have changed the process to fit you a bit.
Yeah, I think, you know, going to the state that existed prior, we essentially had about half of our team in a room every week for 90 minutes in a, you know, management type meeting. and we were solving minor operational issues, minor expense approvals, you know, big personnel issues. And so a lot of this process is like, what data and decisions need to be made by which groups of people? And focusing on that, like, who's the constituent group, who's the audience that we need in this room for this type of conversation has really helped keep us on track. So Tiffany and I are diving deep into a lot of these issues. We're the ones setting the, you know, strategic tempo, what we're doing each quarter. When we're talking to the partners, we're really talking about financial risk and money because that's our capital at risk owners group. When we're talking to the team, we're bringing it back to here's the why, here's the vision, here are the executing pieces that we need. Here's the light at the end of the tunnel on some of those bigger projects and how we're doing and when we're going to get these new tech systems or new capabilities or whatever we're working so hard for. So I think just being really diligent about taking the time as leaders ahead of time to decide who needs to be involved, what information do they need, and what conversations and decisions need to be made in each of those user groups is something that should be customized to each firm based on what your team structure is and who needs to be in those conversations. So I love the format for Limitless that, you know, it's here, but it's meant to be adapted to you and what you need. And I love that. Sorry, Tiff, I kind of just ran through everything there, but feel free to disagree.
No, I agree with everything that you said. And I think the one addition to it, I had a thought and it like totally just left my brain when you were talking. And so now I'm just going to ramble until it comes right back to my brain. I was thinking about it. I'm like, dang it. From like the team perspective, I was thinking, yeah, you guys add and I'm going to come right back. I'm sorry. It is a Monday.
No worries. I'm going to use this opportunity because I've been wanting to ask, because I know Isaac's done them. A number of you have done them. So do you guys want to share a little bit about what you've done on the planning and kind of how you're implementing the process or what questions you have around how this layers into what you've done? So Isaac, I'll start with you.
Lucky me. Thank you. So we have been using EOS for, I don't know, 5-6 years. And so for the first couple of years, we were very diligent about following that process to a T. We had an implementer, and that went pretty well through. So at some point I guess he graduated us or whatever. He said we didn't need him anymore. And so we were self-implementing from there. And then we've gone through a number of like internal firm transitions where our founder has exited out, our leadership team has changed, and then throw COVID on top of it. There's been a lot of like just flux and transition in this process. And so one thing I'm struggling with, or you know, trying to tighten the screws on, is getting back to that consistent process that we do the same thing every quarter. And so, you know, everybody knows the expectations. It's a little bit easier to prep for and plan for and just execute on it. Through COVID, we're a team of 6, I guess, at the time in 2020. And so we weren't getting a lot of FaceTime, obviously. And so we went to this just all team quarterly planning kind of structure. And in the last, 6-9 months, we've kind of moved back away from that to be kind of the leadership team. And then we'll do a team meeting as well. And so, yeah, I mean, we've been good about this quarterly cadence, which I think is a necessity. But one of the things that I am trying to get back to is which kind of like what Jared was saying, like what groups need to be in what meetings and how we do that. And then another, I'd say, opportunity for us, or something that I'm trying to get better at, is incorporating more data and the right data into this planning process. It's not just people in a room talking about, okay, what should we do next? It's actually informed with some of these data and metrics. So I don't know. That's a bit about what we do. And I think the two things that I'd be most interested in talking more about is how do you get the right people in the right room, but not take everybody's time, you know, all the time. And then just around the data piece as well.
Okay, awesome.
That's really good feedback. I do remember what I was going to say. But benchmarking is something that we've been working on too, Isaac, just to like benchmark, not just like the firm benchmarks, but like in those areas of specialty and like how, like, it's just like the continuing question of how do we measure the success. Like measurement of success is coming up with pretty much anything and everything that we do. So the data is non-emotional, which allows us to receive feedback differently, which allows us as a team to be accountable to things differently. So we really like that. But what I was going to say about this process is Jared, he's such a mentor of mine, but like coming in, he's like, so as a leader, it's our fault, right? Like things can always come back up because it helps you from pointing the fingers in the many areas of frustration and being a leader. And so we really took that on. But I think there's what we're learning is there's this healthy balance to where fault lies, that ownership on the team is also important for their own experience and learning and growing. And so we always use the process when we're looking at this, where did the breakdowns happen? When we're doing our quarterly review and things are going to plan or not going to plan, but was it no process, bad training, wrong person and wrong seat, wrong person. And a lot, like every single time you can find a breakdown in process or training, but it does then allow you to also hit those next steps without going to the person first or then coming back to the plan. But what ultimately it's allowing us to do is create a more like there's an opportunity for us as leaders to own whatever is not working towards our goals, but also for our team, because now they're a part of the process. They're committing and agreeing to being a part of these projects and goals, and they're committed to the why. And when those things break down, we can have an honest conversation around them, which allows us as a group to grow and be better. So this process really did shift like it from being like Jared and I just being like, okay, we're going to take that and we're going to implement a new process and it coming all the way back up for us to fix everything. It's now allowing us the opportunity for things to be fixed in different seats, or them to be responsible in creating the training, or them to be responsible in updating the process versus it having to flow all the way up because they're a part and have the buy-in along the way. But that's what I was going to share about this is it's really helped us create a level of everyone truly their own personal goals being tied to the firm goals and us being able to have accountability on both sides of that. And it's been really important for us.
Yeah. And Tiffany and Jared went through a big shift that I think is important. Tiffany, you just highlighted it, which is they really as leaders had to learn how and the process helped them. And Isaac, I'm sure this is our process is very similar to EOS, by the way. It's just modified because EOS is really designed for like larger firms that have manager groups that then take the plans to the to the subgroup and then build out plans for them. And most of you aren't big enough to, right? So it's about kind of a, what's the hybrid model, but it's about that consistency of reviewing and surfacing insights from it, right? So it's about involving the right team at the right time, which we can talk about. To get the insights that you need, that's the data, right? People's perspective, the landscape review, and then ultimately the issues that need to be surfaced. Hey, we're having a problem with the process or a person, right? It's a tech breakdown. So as soon as we're building this discipline around learning how to identify, account for, and ultimately resolve, and one of the shifts that Tiffany and Jared really make, and I suspect it's at least in our conversations, made their life easier and lighter and allowed them to focus on other, right, areas that they want to create, that is, as a result of that, they're not doing as much. So they had sort of this, if we're not careful, the leadership style, especially when we don't have like a camera team in between, is to really kind of delegate in a way that we end up doing it all versus truly empowering the team or the group or the person to come up with the outcome and say, hey, we need to look at this. Why don't you all get together, come up with the draft, go through this process, come back with what you're thinking, because we think we need to do it because we don't feel that the team is empowered and they're going to show up and focus and follow through the way that we want. And this is that messy middle where we shift that, we start to share responsibility for ownership and accountability. And we use the process to highlight, again, those issues and insights that need to be solved for. And there's no place to hide in this process. If you say that you own something, it's clear that you own it. And that outcome is a lot easier to measure. And I want to point out something else that Tiffany said, and this is where I think EOS, especially in those larger organizations, this is the part we want to make sure you're accounting for, which is why we're so big around the ownership and the tasking and the follow-up via the meetings, is there's a difference between owning a task and owning the process. So people on the team will own tasks or projects or priorities. Someone needs to own the process of, hey, we're doing this on a consistent basis. We prep for it, we hold it, we follow up on it, we plan around it, prioritize around it, and put things into the system based on it. It really can't just be, right, a conversation. So we want to also make sure we have an owner for the process. That process owner doesn't have to get everything done. They have to move it along. It could be, right, in Sherry's firm, it's Kim going around and making sure every, right, in Liz's firm, it might be Liz going around and making sure, or picking someone on the team ideally to say, hey, we need to do these check-ins. Please do that on a regular basis. We're going to put this system in place. And then Liz can get the updates that she needs. So the goal is to figure out, I think very much to your question, Isaac, who goes in the meeting and then what's covered. So you want to identify, Tiffany raised, I think, a really good question, which is, are we being successful? So you're going to have what I'll call decision maker level conversations, right? That's anybody who's going to have meaningful, like Tiffany and Jared are having those conversations and coming to decisions together, right? Many of you are in what I call a democratic dictatorship, which means that you have, you know, teams, they're close. You have what I'll call stakeholders, people that are super involved and connected, but you're still ultimately going to make the decision because that's, right, that's the equity in the decision structure of the firm. You still want to create a process that allows people in those leadership positions, Isaac and for everyone else, right, to be part of that decision-making process. And you each have kind of different places where you share that decision-making responsibility. And that's part of, for those of you that are creating, right, succession strategies, what we ultimately want to pay attention to is how do we move it from, right, the locus of control from you to that team. So with decision makers like Tiffany and Jared, you're going to have that leaders meeting. If you have a smaller firm, if four of the six people are decision makers, you're going to ask yourself, Isaac, okay, does it make sense to leave the two people out because they're either what we'll call contributing, right, in terms of do they actually have input or are they more the recipient? So, right, in larger firms, we'll do the planning at the leadership level, bring that to the management or group level, get everyone's buy-in, have conversations, surface issues, and then oftentimes go back to the team for a big team meeting, which will be much shorter, that kind of highlights what has been decided and accomplished, gets feedback, right, and you involve them through the process to get there. So typically in a larger firm, you'll have that meeting with the leadership and managers, and then managers or group leaders will take it out to the team. Isaac, in your firm, there's six of you, right? So in that sense, we've got how many people are in the meetings now?
All right, so there's seven of us now and there's three of us in the quarterly meetings.
Yep. And those are the decision makers, right? In terms of just the process.
Yeah.
Yep. So then the idea is there anything on the agenda that can't be shared with the balance of the team or that's just not appropriate? In which case, then you would carve off a summary of that and then one of you or all of you would take that back to the team for discussion and update so that they're engaged in that process. So it depends on how was everybody was in the strategic planning meeting that set those priorities, right?
So we do like a strategic planning meeting that's just the leadership, the three, and then we do like a sort of a team meeting kickoff
thing. Kind of the highlights, right? So it's the highlights really. Yeah.
Right.
And now so you're going to follow that same model for the quarterly business review. So you're going to have the leadership meeting where you're going through this process together, and then you're going to go back and share that the summary highlights and what that means with the team. If there's planning with the team. So if one of you needs to go work with the planning person, right, and build out something, then we would make that part of their, right, then that action would get shared. Like, okay, this is what the financial planning group is doing this quarter. Our job is going to be to get this done, which means that I'm doing this. And then they would work with the people that they're working with to get those tasks done. And that's how the next layer of people will get their tasks, if it's appropriate. But the idea is to update and inform, right? So Tiffany and Jared are sharing what happened, right? Going back to that quarterly progress review. Hey, here's what happened last quarter. Here's why it happened. Here's what we need to account for. The leadership team met. Here were the conversations. Here's what we've decided. We'd love to give your feedback. Great. That's in line with the decisions we've made. Or, hey, that really brings up some things we need to talk about. We'll get back. Right. So most of the time you're going to be in alignment, but that's really the process. So they're getting the update to that, but they don't have to be in all of the meetings. Does that help? Right. Who else has implemented the planning meeting and is working on the quarterly meetings? Kim? Have you had your first quarterly meetings? Are you guys getting ready for those?
No, we did.
Yeah, you did.
I would do it. I always do it in PowerPoint, and I actually really like these templates. So I'm going to go back now that we're kind of getting more and more clear and put some things into these templates instead. But yeah, we used our regular team meeting to go through that last Monday.
Okay. And then what was the follow-up from that meeting? Like, how did people feel? What was on the agenda? And then what's the follow-up to that for them?
Well, so it's funny, let me think, because I also met with some people individually last week too. So I met with some people individually after the Monday meeting, and I was able then to gather some of the questions that people maybe didn't feel comfortable asking in the meeting. So that was helpful. But I went through the, you know, here were our annual goals. Here's where we are at the end of the quarter. But I did not at that point have our net new assets number, and I'll come back to that. But we went through that. And then I always include a slide too that's like, here are all the other accomplishments that we made as a firm that didn't happen to fall within these categories, right? Because if you look at a quarter, it's amazing what happens that like are these great things, but they don't necessarily fit with your priority. So we covered that too. And then we talked a little bit about what's coming up for the next quarter, but this was more the whole team report out, lots of Q&A around what we were doing and what we accomplished. And so it was about an hour meeting. And they had attended in January our strategy kickoff, where the whole team's involved in helping with the tactics. So we come in with the goals and we talk about the why behind the goals. And then they really help fill in some of the how are we going to do it. And so they can see themselves in it right from the beginning. So there's a lot that I want to improve on. I'm also like normally I would have everyone's individual goals out and we would have gone through their growth plan. But this year, because of Limitless and we're learning so much, I'm just behind on all that. So I had to also like mea culpa. I'm sorry, you don't have your individual goals. That's totally on me. But I just didn't feel like I could give them because I felt like I was going to change them pretty quickly. So,
well, and that's the honest conversation, which is, hey, we've had a process, we're improving it, and we want to bring you the new and improved process so we can use that as the new baseline and go from there. Bear with us.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what this process is. And Isaac, same for you, is once you've got that leadership, the decision-making consensus, it's about then sitting down with the rest of the team. So, right, that might be you guys just having a lunch for 45 minutes or an hour and being like, hey, here's where we're at. And then building out their action plans with them. Hey, you know, I'm owning this, John's owning this, here's what we're going to need you to do. And that's how, because top down is the planning, bottom up is how they participate in the plan. I think very much to your point, Kim. And we can always improve on that, but doing it is the most important thing. Just having that business discipline with the team is really powerful. And now what we're doing is we're just layering in more intentional data sets and structures so that we can more intentionally and effectively surface issues quickly, deal with them quickly, and move through them quickly. Like there's only 90 days. And if you're doing monthly meetings in between, which many of you with larger teams will, then you're doing that monthly check-in. And that's where, you know, that's where you're run the shop, you know, hey, we got an office problem or this problem, you know, that's all not necessarily having to be surfaced in your quarterly business review. Does that help, Kim, in terms of those processes? And if, as I think Liz was asking, or I think it was Melissa, about the personal development plans, I think those are in the human capital piece. But as we've been building this out, I literally had that moment where I was like, oh, this really then from the strategic planning, which ideally will happen in Q4, we'll take you all through that in Q4 now that you're in leaders, right? You ideally want to start that before the year so that you have your priority plan for the year, your business plan, and then, right, time to talk with the team about their personal development plans as it relates to A, those priorities in the group projects, but also their personal and professional development in terms of things they need to do, right? For many of you transitioning clients, is part of your priorities over the next 3 years. That means that those advisors that are taking the clients need growth, mentoring, and development, right? So that should show up in your priorities. It should also show up in theirs. And we put that process in place. That's how we ultimately create those really effective transition and succession strategies over time, which applies to a lot of you. So you've heard Kim talk about it, Isaac talk about it. If you're a smaller team, you can have everyone in the meeting. It's just about what level of information you want to share relative to decision-making. So you can include your entire team and share all the information. It doesn't mean that they have all the decision-making autonomy. And in some smaller firms, everybody really does have a say. So that's the leadership model that you'll ultimately decide. And we can talk about that if any of you have questions. But the idea is to have a basic structure that you can share, and I'll share my screen again. It won't be.
You have a question about that?
Yeah, go ahead.
As a firm that has notoriously, because it's family, like there's not clear lines of what should be shared and what shouldn't be shared.
Yeah.
And getting into the number side of it, I just have a lot of confusion and fuzziness around what part I should hold tighter to chest and what part to share.
I think it's a really personal decision based on philosophy and culture, and oftentimes it changes. So some firms share just core, right? Everybody can generally figure out revenue. I mean, all the reports are in Orion or Black. I mean, it's all kind of there if anyone wants to put the math together. Many firms will share what I'll call the economic model. So in that benchmark tool where it breaks down just as like a bar chart or a pie chart, direct, indirect, and profit. So some firms will share high level data. Some firms will share detailed data. They'll certainly share it at the leadership or the management level in terms of like comp and right percentage of comp relative to expenses, some of those metrics. But we'll typically share high level data. Certainly KPIs are a fabulous way to share like performance without getting into the details. So we can talk about operating profit per client or revenue per client. But again, people can do the math pretty quickly. So if you're really in that, I don't want to share, I don't think you are, Liz, but if you're in that, like, hey, I want a really deep firewall between them and information, then you're going to draw that line. I think in most cases for my clients, and Tiff and Jared can speak to this, firms are pretty open, barring compensation information, just for obvious reasons. Tiff, Jared, you guys want to, I know you guys are super open. Do you want to share kind of, but you're kind of open right to a point. Do you want to share what you share them with who?
Yeah. So when we're meeting as a partner group, that's total transparency. Everybody can see the comp table. That could change in the future as we add more partners and get larger. I could see that kind of falling out of that group and maybe being like a, you know, subgroup there. But that one's total transparency on everything. We try and keep things high level so that we're really talking about bigger issues. When we're meeting with the team, then we're sharing, of course, not specific comp information, and we're tending to round some of our financials. So we're saying, you know, hey, we're at about this much in these different areas, rounded to 100,000. When we talk about expenses, we're not really sharing detailed expense information, but we're talking about here's an area that we're going to invest, and here's generally what that means. So it's not that we're opposed to sharing some of those details. It's just, we feel like the team doesn't need to know all of those drill down pieces. But, you know, if someone asks a pointed question about, hey, you know, what are we spending on Red Tail, for instance, we have no problem sharing any of that information because our team can go get it if they are really determined to anyhow.
All right, so anything you want to add to that, Tiffany, or anyone else in terms of what you share? Kim, what do you guys share at a firm level? And Isaac, I'll ask you the same thing.
We share, like you said, people can figure out revenue, but we focus on assets primarily. And we definitely go through a quarterly net new asset report. And we go through now, we look at prospects and that whole prospect funnel and the numbers associated with that. That was built off of, I think, Tiffany's report, just being able to help people see that by advisor and for a firm. And then other things are just not, you know, like we look at processes and we look at, we have a focus right now on building a centralized financial planning process. And so we talked about the hiring and things like that, but numbers wise, assets are typically our focus. And then the BD funnel.
Great.
So we don't typically share revenue at this point. that's a Sherry decision.
And then Melissa, yeah, and there's no right or wrong here. Again, people will generally figure stuff out. It's, you just don't want to create, you know, you're not trying to hide it. I think to Tiffany, like no one really is like, no one really cares about how much you're spending on paper. Like if they are, we need to ask ourselves why. But I think generally people want a certain amount of information to know, right, are we on track or are we not on track? And that's at a minimum the kind of information that you want to give people. Melissa, you had put a note in the chat. Do you want to share that with the group?
Sure. I'm trying to be pretty transparent. And it's pretty flat information sharing on the team. So I pulled today the P&L year to date versus last year's year to date. To show, you know, the growth in revenue and expenses. And then I am pretty granular on our budgeting as well. And we were within $1,500 of where we had budgeted things first quarter. So I wanted to let people know that. And they've all been on teams that were less from no to very little in terms of sharing. So it's been really well received. And there's not many, I mean, it's a different team, but there's not many awkward conversations. It's so far so good.
Yeah. And look, and in smaller teams that are really tight knit, there's often a ton of transparency because it's sort of an all for one kind of a thing. You will often do the collapsing of the team comp or the owner and partner comp, just right for personal privacy reasons. My general rule of thumb is that the level of influence should equal the level of information divided by culture, right? So if you have a little bit more of a black and white formal culture, you might share less, right? If you have a super small tight knit team where you've always shared everything, you might continue to do that. But in that environment, that team is that impactful and influential, right? If you've got three or four people in an organization of 29, while everyone is impactful, this much information for the clients, for one of three client service people is not gonna help them do their job that much better, right? It's just good to know because we want to create the involvement and the investment and the engagement and the ownership and all of those things, but we don't need to overwhelm people either. So that's my rule of thumb, is your level of information should at a minimum reflect the level of influence, and then mark that up for culture and transparency based on your comfort level. Does that give you guys sort of a practical gauge of how everyone is handling that and where you can go with it? Neil, how about you? What are you doing in this regard right now?
Well, to this point, all that we've really done is we've done, I hate to call them quarterly business reviews. We've called them more finance reviews, and we've just looked at it for more of the financial numbers every quarter. But I want to expand upon that and turn it into a quarterly business review. Start to involve the team a little bit more, especially as we start to go through the rocks for the quarter and lay out the new rocks and things like that. I think that's very important. And we need to probably start holding ourselves accountable a little bit more on performance and marketing evaluations as well, and rolling that into the quarterly business review. So I'm excited about the guidebook and resources here that you guys are sharing. So thank you. It makes my job easier.
Well, again, we talked about this earlier today with lifestyle. We're like, just start something, right? Just pick a couple data points, get an agenda together, force yourself to do it, and it will figure itself out from there. It truly will. You'd be like, oh, I want to look at this. I want to look at that. We're just providing you with the whole enchilada so that you can go into it as skinny or as deep so that you're not left with any of those questions. And that does not mean that this is the be all end all, but it covers really, right, all the really good bases to make sure that you're asking those four important questions that we talked about. So hopefully it does help you guys just refine what you've got and just make it work a little bit better to get that engagement and accountability and ownership that we all want, because that's always the goal. We want to be able to say to our team, here are the goals. We want them to say, yes. We want to say, are you guys on this? We want them to say, yes. Then we want to say, make it so, number 2, 3, 4, whoever. And then we want it to happen. We want them to come back to the meeting the next week and say, hey, I did the draft. We create that momentum or we kill it with our leadership, because we either hold to it, set and hold to an expectation, or we don't. And the honest answer is, anytime we're not in that operating mode that feels good, it's because we have a leadership accountability gap about the momentum that we're creating. We're diluting performance and, you know, we're not charging enough and still trying to grow, or we don't have the right staff, or we're doing too many things. We don't have it right. We're too dysfunctional around time. All the things that we talk about here. The goal is to use this as a measuring cup. that says if I have to sit down and I have to look at the ingredients list and I have to look at the cake, I'm going to have to at some point take responsibility for the measuring cup. What am I putting in versus what is reasonable versus the time, the talent, the energy, right? Is the team too busy? Do you have the right talent? Do you need to outsource? Those are all the things that will get surfaced. So starting is the antidote because it creates action and you will get better and better. It's a maturity muscle that you're building around awareness and business discipline and tuning resources to time, because we are all historically pretty bad at that because we have big ideas and we want to do great stuff, but we've got to make sure the gears in, right, the car, the bike, you pick your analogy, it's got to be able to keep up with us. And the breakdowns often happen when we get ahead of our skis in that way. And this helps us to get more reasonable and more reliable in how we foster results for ourselves as leaders, but also the process we use with our team. So that is really the goal of the process. Isaac, how about you? How did the, just for the group, I know, but in terms of the strategic planning retreat and how you're layering that into ongoing kind of clarity and accountability for the team?
So we're meeting tomorrow, actually, to kick off our quarterly. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, okay. We were talking about that last week. So I was just wondering what the expectation was at this point following the planning. I thought everyone else might like hearing that.
Yeah. So we're going to do the meeting tomorrow with just the three of us, the leadership, and then Wednesday with the full group. What I would say one of the things that's, I think, Kim, you were talking about with limitless this year and kind of how that maybe, at least for me, it's felt like it's like pushed back sort of the start of the year almost. Like there's all these things that you know are coming. And so how do you incorporate them into the plans? And so I think one of the interesting conversations will be around this, the clarity and the accountability piece of like, okay, at the beginning of the year, here's all the things that we thought we were going to do. One quarter in, like, here's where we are. maybe we're not going to get to all that stuff. And so it's just accountability around some of the stuff that we tackled so far. And then the reprioritization of, you know, what is the most important thing that we need to, an actual true priority, not this huge priority list. And we've had some good conversations. I had some good conversations with Stephanie, I think it was last week, had good conversations with people on the team in terms of like, what are they seeing as that true number one priority? My expectation is that things go very well tomorrow, that we're all on the same page, that it's, a smaller list of things that we're trying to tackle throughout the year, and like a more realistic timeframe in terms of, okay, what are we actually going to do this quarter versus the rest of the year? So I think everybody is sort of on the same page on our team and seeing things realistically. I think it's just getting a cadence like this where there's actually some measurables in terms of how much progress are we making, and we're holding people accountable to those. So, yeah.
Yeah, it creates transparency. And in that transparency, as I've said probably 50 times already, like everything gets surfaced. The issues and the insights come up because you're having those conversations on a regular basis. You'll get really good at them. And then Tiffany and Jared, like, you get used to them and you're like, okay, here's what we're talking about. Here's the agenda. And then you get pretty quickly to the, what are we going to do about it part of the conversation. Tiff and Jared, I wanted to ask you, we've also got a question that I want to make sure we get to, but I wanted to ask you before we wrap on that, as you think about from the team's perspective, as you've implemented the process, how, you know, feedback from them in terms of difference in cadence, momentum, like how has that surfaced on the other side of the fence in terms of what you've experienced, not as giving as leaders, but kind of what you're getting back?
You know, like anything, I feel like there was like an initial heat of momentum and everyone feeling really good. And then there's just ebb and flows as you're learning to refine this and work as more responsibility gets transitioned to certain seats. And then just you continue to add like how you're utilizing your capital, time, and resources during all of that. So overall, it's in a very positive direction. It's a transition to get your team fully on board. It's a transition to allow responsibilities to lie at a different level from and creating an enduring firm, and where you're allowing things, mistakes to be made, and where you shouldn't allow mistakes to be made. So we're playing with that a bit, but overall, like, the system's really great. Like, the team is in the know. They don't feel micromanaged. They feel empowered. They are taking chances. They are becoming more solution oriented. So those types of things are just, I mean, those are the things that we want to see to know that we're going in the right direction with this. And we still have a little bit of work to do to ensure that as we have specialized our teams, that they're in this place of being able to continue to improve on their outputs and their outcomes, as we're looking to grow quickly as a firm and we have big plans. Jared, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, we're definitely getting more proactive solutions being generated by the team and more offers to take on projects that I don't think we were seeing 2 or 3 years ago. It had been a little bit more directed, like, hey, the leadership team's going to come up with something. We'll push it down to you guys. You carry on and execute. And because we're including them in the process and they're able to have some of that forward visibility to look at, well, what are our 1 year and our 3 year goals? And, you know, what is our BHAG and what are we trying to do? We're getting some new information about, you know, hey, I was thinking about this process and how we're doing it, and that's great. But once we add, you know, another client service team, or once we've done this in this way, I could see an area where this breaks. And so it's great that all that ideation isn't having to come from just the partners or, you know, just the leadership team, that it's really being surfaced by our team. So just that consistency in executing this process has given them permission and reinforced that culture of trust that, like, hey, if you bring ideas up, they're going to be heard. They're going to be accounted for. Like, your work and your effort to surface those is not going to be wasted. So that's been a really positive change through this process.
Yeah, I think those are great shares. When the team sees that track get laid, when they start to feel the cadence of and the discipline of the structure, I've talked to a lot of you who've gone through change about kind of the safety and security and what you need to operate in that zone versus what your teams need. And you can't always control the level or the pace of change or the complexity or COVID or those things, but you can lay that track. And I think what Tiffany and Jared said covers a lot of really valuable ground. I want to highlight two things. One is, and I think I alluded to this earlier, for you and the team, it creates that bifurcation between working in and on. It's a different mindset. So for those of you who have leaders and advisors that you're grooming, right, whether it's just for more growth or for ultimate partnership or succession, this process is incredibly valuable at instilling that thought model, that business discipline, that management and leadership discipline. You're doing them a huge favor by laying this track, and you're creating a very powerful mindset, even in those team meetings, right? Kim and Isaac, where you're going to the team, you're sharing with them what you're doing, why you're doing it, what you accounted for, the actions that you're taking. And that really helps to build ownership across the team. And that's what you hear when Jared uses that example, when the team knows how it's going to be managed and okay, right? Like, now we've got a track laid. When they know that something will work, and when you focus on fewer things and you make some progress and you get that momentum and that kind of rhythm going, people are much more willing to step in, take ownership, take responsibility. And right, as we've talked about, people who are really uncomfortable by that process, those issues will surface and you'll address them at a performance level, and or they will remove themselves or you'll remove them from the process because it becomes so painstakingly clear. That's not the majority of the time, but if there are any problems, they will get surfaced through this process. And that's ultimately a good thing, because while you do want to be a good, effective leader and you do want good processes, we all know that really great people do this naturally, like, right? They come in and they're like, give me what you got, I'll make it so. And you can. And so we need to institutionalize that skill set, because not everyone's going to have it. And certainly not every leader is going to have it. And so this really lays the track, not just for you and the team, to really bring what I call the owner think to it. It brings that mindset to the business, ultimately to the culture, and that makes for a more effective team, a more effective management structure, and certainly for more effective leadership and strategic decisions. So that's really the takeaway, however you design your meeting, that's ultimately the goal, is that habit and that mindset around it of really in and on and the owner think and really aligning priorities. All right. Any other questions around? We've got about 15 minutes left, or maybe 10 minutes left. And we've got just a couple of questions outside of that. Any other questions around quarterly business review, next steps in terms of implementing, anything you want to share with the group just around that topic in particular? I know this one's really sexy. We should have like fireworks or prizes or something because it's so exciting. But I say this a lot. The results are really sexy, right? The idea that you have a tight culture, and Jared and Tiffany will tell you there's nothing sexier than not having to babysit people to get stuff done. That's some sexy shiznit right there. That's what this process will do. If you've got the right people and the right process, make it so number two becomes like that becomes, you get leverage. You're not the only one pushing the cart up the hill. Everybody's in that car with you, and it really does lighten the load. So focus on implementing those processes. We can talk about them. I'll put some notes in the leaders when I send your summaries up. We can talk about them in the quarterly check-ins. If you've got any questions around this as you're implementing, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. That's what we're here for. Tiffany and Jared are on Tribe if you've got questions, but that's really the quarterly business review, is that's the progress quotient. You make sure that you make progress with the quarterly business review, whatever your version of it is. All right, two things I want to cover in the next 8 minutes. We're going to end promptly on time because that's my commitment. One, Melissa put a win in the chat, and I really want everyone to go around and share a quick win. And then we're going to have Kim go last, because she's got a question around some changes that they're going through, if you looked at the chat, and that's exactly what these calls in this community is for. So we're gonna share some wins quick, and then Kim, we're gonna see if we can get some group feedback on your question. Does that sound good? All right, Melissa, do you wanna start with your, you just wanna share your win, and then we'll do Joe, Isaac, Neil, Liz, and Chris?
Sure, so I've been working on pricing and had kind of a outlier financial plan presented to me for a widow. She doesn't need anything on investments, but has some super complicated financial life in general. And so I quoted a plan that's probably standard for some of you guys, but $12,000 for 6 months of work, which is much higher than I would typically do to start working with somebody. And so she hired us right away next day, and it felt good to think that we'll be effectively compensated for the work that we'll be doing for her.
Now, what's your comfort level the next time that prospect, right? So next time, your hesitancy going to be higher or lower?
Lower. And also it just gives me the space to, in the first call, I was like, I'm going to need a day to think about, based on what your needs are, what would be fair compensation and things like that. So I think it'll be good.
Awesome. Great win. And then Isaac, you want to share yours super quick? Cause it looks like you got to run. I just want everyone to hear this. It's a big deal for you.
You caught me. I was 3 seconds from the leave button. So anybody that's talked to me in the last 6 months knows we're doing this equity transition and transaction. It's taken forever. And finally, I think got the last round of docs from our attorney. So hopefully sign those here this week.
Yay. That's a big deal. If you've ever done that, that's great. You're just like, let's get to the signing part. That's awesome, Isaac. Great seeing you.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. See you.
Neil, big win. And then Liz and Chris and Joe.
My big win's pretty easy. After doing the value retreat, I got very, very specific on what we're going to be doing here in quarter two. So everything is listed out. It's being shared with the team right now. And we're going to execute. So this quarter is all about delivering more value to the clients, and we're excited by it. So,
excellent. The triple double continues.
Yes.
Joe, how about you?
Well, after the retreat, I had 3 days in the office before I left again to go away. But I literally sat down with my chief operating officer and my marketing person and just data dumped a bunch of tasks onto them. So I got them off my plate and just gave them to them. So delegation. That was good to actually delegate, because I suck at it. So. Yeah.
You're getting better, aren't you? They're like, oh, wait, he's getting on. He's on a roll. All right, Liz and Chris, how about you?
I signed documents this week for the succession plan, so that was exciting. And also got the ball rolling and our first referral this year for, actually, it's our second referral this year for a widow, which is right in our niche. It's awesome.
Love it. progress. Chris, how about you?
We had two clients that we've been working with in a small amount for a few, actually less than a year, both retire, and we're processing all their transfers in. And we had three clients we approached last week, and they're all on the schedule to start next week.
That's awesome.
So that's what
we're turning on the growth engine over there.
Trying to.
Good thing. All right. Kim had a question in the chat. I don't know if you guys got to read it, but Kim, on mute, because I think it's a great question. And I suspect your colleagues have been through this before.
All right. And I will be really quick. Just that, so our assets fell this first quarter. So the market was a big part of it. So our market hit was about 5%. And then even though we brought on some clients and more focused clients, we had a lot of RMDs and a lot of money go out in the first quarter. So net net, instead of we're trying to be up 50 million, I just took like 40 million off of where we started the quarter. And we were a $700 million firm. So asset under management firm. So I'm feeling like really, I mean, because we're really, you know, this is out, it's going to be out there and I'm going to be sharing it. And I'm not used to not being able to control so much because I come from a different industry. So I can't control the market, right? We control parts of things, but I just wondered how, when you've had, because, and also since I've joined the firm, the market's generally been moving in a very positive direction. I came in 2018. So we've only had a few dips. How do you communicate these major backward steps around assets, if you do, with your teams, and kind of keep morale?
I think we all feel you because we're all in the same boat, right? The market hit all of us for AUM too. One of the things we focus on is, from an emotional perspective, Kim, I feel you because I do the same thing. I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, that sucks. Now I got to climb even harder and faster. But actually what we do from a bonus perspective and things like that, we focus on net new assets, and market doesn't play any role in that whatsoever. RMDs and withdrawals obviously do. Yes. That's always a kick in the teeth too. But what you back out the market stuff and focus on the net new assets. And that's the things we can control as a team as much as possible. And so it's that old Carl Rogers things. Let's focus on the intersection of things we can control and things that really matter.
I like that. I mean, 100%. That sort of changes the message a lot.
Also, my thought is messaging it to your team, showing the down for the RMDs or distributions that you're giving, talk about how you're funding your clients' lives, and ultimately it benefits them in this short period of time. And as a team, you're working together to bring it back.
I also like it as a great time to be able to highlight like proper financial management of the firm and say, AUM went down, revenue went down, and onward we go because we've done all of these different things. We're properly designed, right? And we help our clients plan because this is happening to them too. So I think it's a great time to just highlight like stress testing and proper planning to build that confidence on the team.
That's a great point.
It's why we do all these things that we're talking about, so that we have a moat around us. And as you know, I think Tiffany and Jared are very much this way. I'm a huge fan of honest conversations, right? Just have the can like very much like, hey, here's where we're at. You know, we've enjoyed these incredible markets. We're going to have these moments, but it's why, very much to Jared's point, it's why we do this work. The thing that I would add to all of your comments, because I think they're incredible, is I would highlight that this is what you get paid for. I think so. Jared's point, I think, is a great underpinning to that, is we need to run our business with enough soundness and smartness that when this shit happens, we're still okay, so that we can do what we're supposed to do, which is, this is what we get paid for. One is business owners and leaders to make sure we can navigate these highs and lows as a business, very much what you're like, that's business case story. And this is when our clients are feeling it the most. This is why we need to be right, efficient and organized and have the service models and the standards, so that when these circumstances happen, we're in the best position for all that work we did to really pan out, right? So that we can be there and do those things. So yes, these are things that require us to pay attention to our business, But the way that we're able to be there and show that value as a trusted advisor is by doing that work behind the scenes. It's why we do all this stuff. It's why we do quarterly business reviews and spreadsheets, boring as it is, because adding value to clients is pretty sexy.
And I'd add, like, as having been an employee in the past, that the employees are probably stressed about it too, especially if it's a less transparent culture. So, with Sherry's permission, explaining, we always have enough cash on hand for a variety of market environments. And, we're still focused on the things. We're not going to change our stripes. And just telling them, I'm not stressed about it. That one of the things that's different than even 2 years ago is that the numbers are bigger, right? So it's $700 million firm. The numbers seem bigger, but it's less than 6% drop. So, but it feels bigger because it's a bigger, there's more, it's just more than 500 million, right? So So that part too would help.
I think Jared's point and Melissa's point and Liz, like just the cushion, like, hey, we're able to handle this. We want you to have that clarity and comfort, reinforcing all the good stuff. This is why we're able to handle it, all this stuff we're doing and continue to do. And so that we are in a great position to add value to our clients. And that's why we're continuing to do this work. And I think that's a really compelling story.
It is. And Sherry's really good at delivering a story like that because we are well prepared. So it will be really good.
Thank you, was that helpful, kind of framing that for you?
That was fantastic.
And that's what this tribe is all about. That's what I love. All good stuff. All right. We are promptly on time. So with that, I will wish you all a great day and a great week. As always, if you need me or the team, we're here. Jared and Tiffany, as always, thank you so much for your insights and kind of in practice experience. It's really helpful to know what it's like on the other side of the fence. You guys, I will talk to you soon. Have a great day.